in church. He didn't know the Bible really well. He didn't really feel the love they were telling in the synagogue. He said, you have to experience God. God loves you. But he never felt that. Inside of him, there was just this starting more and more this emptiness. And it got him more frustrated. It got him more angry. And got him to a point where he was so angry because he went bad in school. Everything he tried, it didn't work. And he says, oh, my dad has a lot of money, so I want my share now. So he went up to him, if you don't give me my share right now, I'm going to make you suffer for this. I'm going to tell everybody how bad you are. It's the law that allows me to give me my share of your estate. And so his father, because he was trapped in this, because he couldn't do anything about it, so he says, yes, okay, here, son, you have my money, go. And then the time went. He was 21 years old. He had all the money. And he said, come on, let's go. And so he went, click, to a country called Underland. And in that country, he found quickly a lot of friends, had always a good time. But at some point, his demons he left at home caught up with him. So he started to drink heavily. He started to smoke marijuana. He always wanted to keep up with his friends because he wanted to tell them, I'm a tough guy, I can do this. And at one point, he drank so much alcohol that he fell asleep in the toilet. And he woke up, and then he actually had to, like little babies, go up to his room, otherwise he couldn't make it because he was just so full of alcohol. And then he just passed away. And all his pain never really went away. It was still there, this brokenness, this just torture that just didn't go. So he thought to himself, I have to travel more farther. I have to really travel to the end of the world. So he did. The last money he had, he went to a country called, click, Formosa. In this country, his tactics didn't work. He'd start drinking again, but then some point is, okay, drinking doesn't help me, so I'm just going to try to travel instant, like really heavily. Maybe I'll find something during my journey. Maybe I find something that's going to make me better, that's going to keep away this pain, but nothing really helps. In the end, he ended up having the same pains, the same frustration, the same anger. And then he met this girl. She was from this tribe called the Mesoamericans. And she told him about all the lovely sisters she has, all the lovely ladies in that country. So he thought, let's go to that country. Maybe I'll find a woman, and the woman will actually fill this emptiness in my heart. Maybe this woman will take away all my pain, and I'm going to have this great, amazing time. So, click. He went to Mesoamerica, but he didn't find a woman. So he used the same tactics, drugs, he partied heavily just to forget everything. And at some point, he was just devastated because he's been traveling so much. It's like, why nothing's changing? Everything I do, he did so many things, but nothing is changing. So he cried out to God, like, why do I have to really live like a restless spirit? Why do I have to endure this pain? Why do you curse me so much? Why is nothing working? Where are you? But God didn't answer. God did not answer. And you think to yourself, why? I mean, he must answer. He loves me so much. That's what it says in the Bible. He didn't answer. And so, because it didn't work out in Mesoamerica, he traveled farther. Because his pride didn't allow him to go back home. His pride says, like, no, if I go home, I have to be like this triumphant guy. I have to be really rich. I have to show everyone I did all by myself. So he went to the Middle Kingdom. There he found a woman. But the woman didn't really help. So he had sex with her. Nothing. There was still this empty silence. There was still this brokenness. There was still this torture of demons inside his heart. Nothing worked. And then we read, click, in Luke 15, 14 to 16, about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And the young man became so hungry that even the parts he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. So you have to think, Yirmiyahu is a Jewish person, so to sit with the pigs is the worst thing you can ever be. It's unclean, and the Jewish have like this all these laws about cleanliness and how to wash yourself. So at this point, it's really the dark hole. And because he couldn't take it anymore, because he couldn't take in this torture of the demons he had inside of him, because he couldn't take in anymore this pain, because nothing really worked, he went up to a cliff. And this cliff was 8 to 10 meters down. And he was just standing there on the edge. He was just about to jump, where a voice inside of him said, "No, my son, you're not going to die. No, my son, you're not going to do this." And then he just completely collapsed, and he just fell. And then we read in Luke 15:17-19, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home even the hired servant have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father. Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take on me as a hired servant." So Yirmiyahu went home, but it was a far way to go home. And along this journey, he met this old woman, really wise woman, and he told her a story. And in the conversation with this woman, he finally understood why, what went wrong, why he's suffering. And for 8 years, he began to understand what corrupted his mind, what corrupted his heart. So, next. In Luke 15:20-21, he says, "So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion, and he ran out to his son, embraced and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" The story I was just telling you is not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible because, click. Yirmiyahu is a Hebrew word for Jeremiah, Jeremy. Click. Timotheos is a Greek word for the word Timothy, Tim. Click. Jeremy, Tim are the names that have been given me by this woman 31 years ago. And that story is my story. I was literally traveling the world. Click. This is the map. I didn't plan anything. My plan was step two, to leave Germany, just go to Holland. That was my plan. In the end, I went to live in Taiwan. That's Formosa. So Underland was Netherlands. I went to live in Mexico, Mesoamerica. I went up to live in China. And I tried everything to fill my heart with all the things that this world gives you, but nothing works. And something incredible happened is that when I returned, when I finally, actually this wise woman was a therapist and she helped me so much, and then I end up recovering my heart, and then end up I got a job offer in Stuttgart with Mercedes, and then actually one of my colleagues, he committed suicide. And at that point I was just like, I try to do it many times. I was just like, it was just from this whole process, I was just gone. I couldn't care less. So I went home, and all of a sudden this voice came up to me and says, "You have to go to this Italian church in Mannheim." And I was like, why there? And the reason why is because I went there, it took me 3 hours to get there, but I hadn't been in church for 12 years. And when I went up to the stairs, and it's a smaller room than this, but they had on the screen, it said, "Willkommen daheim." For those of you who don't know, German means welcome home. And it took me 12 years to figure out who I am, to figure out what really God wants. And the most amazing thing is that my mom was praying for this moment for 13 years. 13 years, every night she had to hear myself, my story, that I'm beating myself up with alcohols, with drugs. She was praying and praying. She was not the only one. There's some people in this church who also prayed for me. There's my family who prayed for me. But the irony of all of this is that on the 28th of May, 2006, I actually stood on this very same platform. And I was actually down in this tank. And I was got baptized. And the verse they gave me for my baptism was actually, click, Jeremiah 29, 11 to 12. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And you call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God's plans are perfect. Even though we don't see it, they're perfect. And the reason why I'm saying this is they're perfect is because after my colleague committed suicide before he killed himself, God placed me into Mannheim. I mean, he could have taken me anyway. I could have been to Milan, to Tokyo, Paris, whatever, what city, but why did he choose me to move me to Mannheim? And there's a reason behind that. It's because I am the son of Dorothee Elisabeth Christ Dreyer, born 1961 in Mannheim. She's the daughter of Heinz Christ, born in 1922 in Mannheim. Daughter of Eva Margarete Christ, born 1925 in Mannheim. Mannheim is actually the place where everything started. It's the place where my parents met. It's the place where my family's from. He brought me there in order to take me to somewhere else now. But he wanted to have everything, the pain my family has gone through. My parents divorced. During my childhood, I was beaten. I was humiliated. Everything was taken away from me when I was 15 years old. But in all that suffering and pain, God always proved himself loyal, and God always knew the plans he had for me. So, next. If you also maybe have done this journey like this, I want to ask you, actually, the church, like, why are you here? Because there's churches who have better worship, there's churches who maybe have better speakers. The reason is why you're here. I think you're here because you're broken inside. You're here because some of your family is suffering. You're suffering. You sit in this church, like me, once, and you don't know the love of God. You sit here because you want healing in your heart. You want to be set free. You want to have God in your life to really understand when it says God loved the world so much that he gave his only son for you, that you ever have everlasting life. And that phrase, the Bible verse in Jeremiah, just because it's my name, it also means for you. God has a plan for you. Even your son does not go to church, your brother, your sister, or whoever doesn't go to church, God has a plan for them. And the only thing you have to do is trust God, and this is even difficult for me, to have the patience. I'm still struggling with things, but God always comes at the right moment. He will reveal himself to you. He will come through, and he will show you his plans. He's done it for me. If you think about it, why am I standing here after 13 years? Is God led me through all this suffering, through all this pain, to now be a man to be used by him? So the only thing I ask of you this moment, click, is to literally, I dare you to move. I dare you to get out of your seats, it doesn't have to be now, but to really say, God, whatever it is, I'm going to do it. You put a passion into my heart. That passion doesn't come from you. That passion comes from God who placed into your heart that you should do it. If you have doubts about what you should do, if you have doubts like, is this correct? I have all these pains. I cannot come to God. Yes, you can come to God. You know why? Look at it through the Bible. If you go from Moses to the end, you have so many people. Moses killed a person. David killed a person. But yet God used these people to do great things. Great things doesn't always have to be like I have to evangelize millions of people. It can be just one person. And if you're suffering right now, if you're harmful, the only thing is you have to go to the cross. You have to say, God, I'm a sinner. And I want you maybe to bow down your heads and have for those who really hurt to really say, God, I'm a sinner. I want to return from sin. I want to that you are the purpose that I'm living. I want that you are the breath I'm breathing. I want that you are the one who takes me all through the suffering, in the end reveals the plan to me, that all the suffering was for greater good, that I am your son, and for the rest of my life, I want to serve you, love you, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. I was so encouraged at our last family gathering before the summer. He had just briefly shared that he had come back to the faith. And there was kind of a sense of joy that was expressed in the congregation. And I said, hey, you have to tell your story. Or we talked, and it was clear that it was something that I think there are many prodigals here. There are many prodigals that maybe we have children that are prodigals. And I think Jeremy's story reminds us that God is sovereign. He is over everything. And that the story of the parable of the prodigal son is really all of our stories. And so if you can resonate with what Jeremy's saying today, and I know there are people here that are far from God, and like Jeremy said, we have to look to the cross. And so I'd invite you to take that step this morning. We're about to have communion, so I'll ask the worship team to come forward now. And as we prepare ourselves for communion, let me just explain how it works. Communion is something for Christians. It's something for those that are within the family of God that have experienced the new life that God gives us in Jesus Christ. So if you don't know Jesus, if you haven't had an experience where everything that Jeremy has said today is true for you, then I'd encourage you to take this time to ask Jesus into your heart and tell us about that. We're going to take the bread and cup, but before we do so, the worship band will lead us in a time of reflection and meditation. Your cue to begin coming forward to take the cup and the bread is when the ushers come to the tables. But in the meantime, take this time to prepare yourself to receive the bread and the cup.